The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, September 16th through Sunday, September 20th, or rather September 22nd, I should say, 2024. The commentary for September was written by Colleen Thomas, a spiritual director and longtime practitioner of centering prayer. She delights in companioning others on their spiritual journey, leading contemplative prayer groups and spiritual workshops and retreats. Learn more about her ministry at soulcarela.com. That's soulcarela.com. The commentary for Monday, September 16th, begins as follows. With a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 15, verse 39, the disagreement became so sharp that they parted company. As one of four girls, I'm familiar with disagreements. They are bound to happen with family and those with whom we share intimate relationships. In this passage, we see Paul and Barnabas, brothers in ministry, part ways, yet continue with the work they've been called to do. They are to be commended for their perseverance. It's not always easy to carry on amid division. Sometimes we can become so grieved by a rift in a relationship that we no longer want to continue in the work, ministry, or relationship. However, these situations can become a significant times of growth. Years ago, I experienced a fracture in a meaningful relationship that rendered me hopeless. Ultimately, new doors opened, leading to opportunities I couldn't have made happen if I'd tried. I learned an important lesson, even in the midst of loss and heartache. God is there, helping me find a way to carry on and continue in the work God has given me to do, even when it looks different than I imagined. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Acts chapter 15, verses 36 through chapter 16, verse 5. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Come, let us return and visit the believers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take with him John, called Mark, but Paul decided not to take with them one who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not accompanied them in the work. The disagreement became so sharp that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and set out, the believers commending him to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul went on also to Derbe and to Lystra, where there was a disciple named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman, who was a believer. But his father was a Greek. He was well spoken by the believers in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and had him circumcised because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went from town to town, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in numbers daily. The moving forward question for this day is, when have you experienced a significant rift in a relationship? and what helped you deal with the pain? And now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, September 17th, the day on which we celebrate the feast day of St. Hildegard of Bingen. It begins with a passage from Psalm 62, verse 2. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold, so that I shall not be greatly shaken. Today the Church recognizes the life of Hildegard of Bingen, a saint from the Middle Ages who is remembered as a mystic, musician, writer, naturopathic physician, and prophetic counselor to royals. Hildegard lived an extraordinary life as an abbess to a monastery on the Rhine River. She was a traveling minister whose way with words put kings to shame, and in all this bold living she writes, I am but a feather on the breath of God. As she encountered many influential people, she walked with a distinguished humility. What grace! I worked for many years in television, and I can attest that humility isn't among the top values in Hollywood. While many sought the power to influence boldly and speak unapologetically, in my experience, few could claim to follow the humility of Hildegard. I pray to embody the bold assurance and trust of Hildegard, who I imagine had much to say, yet always trusted that she was being gently carried, like a feather, on the breath of God. And now I'm going to read the full psalm, number 62. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called, My delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Upon your walls, O Jerusalem, I have posted sentinels all day and all night. They shall never be silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest, and give him no rest, until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it renowned throughout the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, I will not again give your grain to be food for your enemies, and foreigners shall not drink the wine for which you have labored. But those who garner it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather it shall drink it in my holy courts. Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, clear it of stones, lift up an ensign over the peoples. The Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth, say to daughter Zion, see your salvation comes, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. They shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, September 17th, how might you nurture the gift of humility? Now the commentary for Wednesday, September 18th, also known as Ember Day this year. It begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 18. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. I can relate to Paul's experience of being very much annoyed. I'm very much annoyed by drivers who seem to have nowhere to go, by policy and politicians who prioritize greed over need, by family members who project frustrations onto me, or by colleagues who lack urgency and efficiency. Never have I thought that God could use me to accomplish something holy when I'm gripped by a state of annoyance. But perhaps there is something to be said for holy agitation. In this passage, Paul is very much annoyed by the circumstance of a young girl being regarded as a commodity, someone whose gifts brought her owners a great deal of money. Paul's annoyance and anger become a vehicle for releasing the girl from an injustice. I wonder how I could transform my venting into righteous lament so that it can become a prayer on behalf of another rather than one of self-pity that bears no fruit. And now I'm going to read from the passage for this day from the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 16 through 24. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, have you ever used holy annoyance to fight an injustice? Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, September 19th, the day on which we celebrate the feast day of Theodore of Tarsus. It begins with a passage from Acts 16, verse 40. After leaving the prison, they went to Lydia's home, and when they had seen and encouraged the brothers and sisters, there they departed. I've always been blessed with wise teachers, mentors, and counselors. Having lived in many cities on my own from a young age, I've had to rely on the guidance and understanding of many. Some have come into my life for a reason, serving as a weather vane pointing toward a path I could scarcely make out in the distance. Others have remained with me as steady companions, praying for me as I move and grow and find my way. One of these weather vanes, who is very dear to me, sends me infrequent but always timely texts and phone calls. When I see a message from her, I know to pay close attention. She may say something simple like, "Praying for you, know that you are loved." But this is no random encouragement. Her words and prayers carry weight, and I receive this encouragement as an invitation to reflect and turn my attention toward the one who desires to show me the way. And now I'll read the passage continuing on from the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 25 through 40. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. When morning came, the magistrate sent the police, saying, "Let those men go." And the jailer reported the message to Paul, saying, "The magistrate sent word to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace." But Paul replied, "They have beaten us in public, uncondemned men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison, and now are they going to discharge us in secret? Certainly not. Let them come and take us out themselves." The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city. After leaving the prison, they went to Lydia's home, and when they had seen and encouraged the brothers and sisters there, they departed. And the moving forward question for this day: wisdom may be hard to find, but it's easier to spot when you let others remind us where to look and how to find it. Who is pointing you in the direction of wisdom? How will you respond? The commentary for Friday, September 20th, begins with a passage from Esther in the Old Testament, chapter 1, verse 17. King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, and she did not come. Well-behaved women rarely make history. I've always been attracted to this statement. I'm a bit of a rule breaker, and I've frequently taken risks. I moved to a big city for college and traveled to foreign countries alone. I've jumped off cliffs and quit jobs without a backup plan. In those moments, the rewards seem to outweigh the costs. But learning how to discern when a risk is worth taking has taken years of trial and error. In this passage, we learn about Queen Vashti, who refused to perform on command of her husband, the king. Scripture doesn't tell us what exactly happened to Vashti, although we can presume she was either banished or executed. But her bold action paved the way for Esther, who, with wit and wisdom, saved the Jewish people. As I continue to take risks and break rules, I pray to have the courage of Vashti and Esther, women who were not well behaved, but whose actions made a difference in the lives of many. And now I'm going to read from the book of Esther, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and verses 10 through 19. This happened in the days of Ahasuerus, the same Ahasuerus who ruled over 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. In those days when King Ahasuerus sat on his royal throne in the citadel of Susa, in the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his officials and ministers, the army of Persia and Media, and the nobles and governors of the provinces were present, while he displayed the great wealth of his kingdom and the splendor and pomp of his majesty for many days, 180 days in all. On the seventh day, when the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Bista, Harbona, Bigta, and Abagatha, Zetar, and Carcass, the seven eunuchs who attended him, to bring Queen Vashti before the king, wearing the royal crown, in order to show the peoples and the officials her beauty, for she was fair to behold. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command, and conveyed by the eunuchs. At this the king was enraged, and his anger burned with him. Then the king consulted the sages who knew the laws, for this was the king's procedure toward all who were versed in law and custom. And those next to him were Karshina, Shetar, Adamatha, Tarshish, Maris, Marcina, and Mekuman, the seven officials of Persia and Media, who had access to the king and sat first in the kingdom. According to the law, what is to be done to Queen Vashti because she has not performed the command of King Ahasuerus conveyed by the eunuchs? Then Mekuman said in the presence of the king and the officials, "Not only has Queen Vashti done wrong to the king, but also to all the officials and all the peoples who are in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen will be made known to all women, causing them to look with contempt on their husbands, since they will say, 'King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, and she did not come.' This very day, the noble ladies of Persia and Media, who have heard of the queen's behavior, will rebel against the king's officials, and there will be no end of contempt and wrath. If it pleases the king, let a royal order go out from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, so that it may not be altered, that Vashti is never again to come before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal position to another who is better than she." And the moving forward question for this day is, when have you broken the rules or taken risks for Jesus? Now we turn to the commentary for Saturday, September 21st, the feast day of St. Matthew the Evangelist. It begins with a passage from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. "My child, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." I was a good child, at least according to my grandmother, who would often take my sisters and me to visit various friends and relatives. She doted on us and loved showing us off to her friends, praising our good works and well-mannered nature. My claim to fame was that I kept a tidy room. I enjoyed basking in the glow of her praises, and to this day I take pride in tidiness. I work best in an organized space. It's ironic, then, that for most of my childhood, a handmade sign hung on the door of my bedroom that read, "Bless this mess." Over the years, I've come to realize that perhaps it's not cleanliness that's next to godliness, but rather the process of how we clean up the inevitable messes where we can let God's grace shine. And now I'll read from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. "My child, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and abundant welfare they will give you. Do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and of people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." And the moving forward question, how can you focus less on the end result and more on the learning and grace of cleaning up? And as we near the end of this program and the end of the week, we turn to Sunday, September 22nd, the 18th Sunday after Pentecost. It begins with a passage from James chapter 3, verse 13b. "Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom." For many years, I worked in television. At its best, the industry is creative, fun, and collaborative. I enjoy working in teams, exchanging ideas, and seeing visions brought to life on a screen. At its worst, Hollywood can be cutthroat and stress-inducing, with every person focused on their own success. The exchange of ideas becomes a fount for criticism. Working in teams brings conflict, and long days and nights on set can be grueling. In an industry motivated by the bottom line, I'm still figuring out how to remain generous and impartial, and be ambitious without being aggressive. My way of navigating the inner motivations of my heart is through careful and intentional prayer. The more ambitious I become, the more pressing my need to reflect and examine my heart. As I make space to draw near to God, I trust God to lead me away from the trappings of ambition and chasing after what others have. I can't win a war within myself, by myself. I always need God's help. And now I'm going to read from the book of James, chapter 3, verse 13, through chapter 4, verse 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something, and you do not have it. So you commit murder, and you covet something and cannot obtain it. So you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, September 22nd, pray for God's help in navigating a difficult situation. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of this world. Knowing that you are hearing us better than we're speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus, and all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thanks for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me next time for a new program of commentary and readings. Thanks for joining me today.